Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, a small business advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Terry Neese is our guest this half hour, ladies and gentlemen. Terry is a longtime member of our Brain Trust, a good friend of mine and yours. Even if you didn't know it or not, she's been your good friend if you're a small business owner for a long time. She is a small business owner herself. She's, as I said earlier, she's been toiling in the fields of small business advocacy for a long time. Currently, senior fellow with the National Center for Policy Analysis. Terry Neese, welcome back to the show.
Hey, good to be with you, Jim. Good morning.
It's good to have you back, as always. Before we get into some of the other, the real issue on the table today, I wanted to ask you about your efforts on behalf of the women in Afghanistan and other places that you've worked so hard to help these women find some kind of self-determination.
As a matter of fact, we're bringing 30 women this year from the international community to Dallas, Texas, 15 Rwanda women and 15 Afghanistan women business owners. And they'll be in Dallas for about 3 weeks going through some major leadership development training
right
at Northwood University. And then they'll spend a couple of days also at the International Women's Economic Summit, which is the first that the Institute for Economic Empowerment of Women is doing. And then perhaps the most important piece of this is that they'll be living and shadowing and mentoring with a woman business owner who has the exact same type mm-hmm. of company as she has here in the United States. And
I saw the call that you put out for people who had certain skills who could be a mentor. Were you able to fill all those slots?
We have about two left.
That's great.
Which is amazing.
It is.
Because we have a coffee bean plantation owner, we have a dairy farm owner, a very diverse group. We do have the mentors, and things are running really, really well. Thanks for asking.
These women are highly motivated, I'm sure, but part of the issue that a mentor would have to deal with is the fact that these ladies don't have, when they go home, they don't have access to the same tools that a business owner has in America, do they?
No, that's right. They have a lot of the same problems in running their business, but they don't have the same tools or the same resources.
Access to the internet, maybe, those kinds of things.
Healthcare.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. How about just basic freedoms in some place?
Well, basic freedoms, absolutely.
Yeah.
But many of the things that we take for granted, they would love to have access to, and would give anything to have access to it.
Well, I just want to say in front of my audience, folks, when I talk about Terry Neese being an advocate for small business owners, this is a global cause for her. And Terry, I congratulate you and thank you for reaching out and helping these people.
Well, it's my pleasure. I think it's an extension of our soldiers and what they are doing in Afghanistan.
Right.
And it's an extension of my work for 35 years.
Right.
To help women and small business.
Well, keep up the good work, and as you know, if you ever need any help, you know where to find us.
Thank you,
Terry. Let's talk about the Family and Medical Leave Act of 1993. And tell us what that established.
It actually set up a requirement that employers had to provide to employees 12 weeks of unpaid leave annually for a serious illness or to care for an immediate family member or following an adoption or birth of a child. And as many of your listeners probably know, President Obama during the campaign pledged to expand the Family Medical Leave Act and lower, by the way, one thing I forgot to mention in the first is that this law applies to employers who employ 50 people or more.
Mm-hmm.
They now want to expand that down to 25 employees or more. And, you know, the problem with that, as we see it and many others, is that small businesses, particularly right now, are in economic turmoil. And as we progress through this recession, the last thing we need is to put more regulations on small businesses so they can't innovate and create jobs.
You know, Terry, in the 90s, when I was had my consulting business, when I did that full time, I worked with small businesses. Those were my primary clients, and I don't know how many businesses I worked with that when I got into the business, I found out that they only had 49 employees.
Right.
And after a little while, it finally dawned on me, and then they finally admitted it to me that there was a strategic reason, a specific reason why they didn't grow their employee base beyond 49 employees. Now, now you might say, well, you know, why would anybody limit their growth just because of that? Well, they didn't necessarily limit their growth.
Right.
They just found other ways to grow.
Exactly.
And so instead of hiring another person in the community to go to work, they bought another piece of technology.
Right.
Or they outsourced it.
Or they hired temporary staffers to just get them through what they were doing. Well, I have written a piece called The 24th Society. And it's all about this very fact that, you know, if we lower this to 25, we're going to become a 24th society where,
right,
you know, small businesses will have 24 employees. As a matter of fact, I spoke to a lumberyard owner in Georgia who brought up this very thing. I didn't put it in his mind. He said, I have 29 employees, and I will immediately let five of them go.
Right. Well, you know, Terry, let me answer this question. If someone's listening, say, well, you big meanies, why don't you like this? Why isn't this a good idea? Tell the audience why this isn't a good idea.
Well, first of all, Jim, by the way, according to the Employment Policy Foundation, FMLA compliance costs total $21 billion in 2004. That's the latest numbers they have.
Yeah. And a lot of that's on growing small businesses.
Yeah, that's right. Now to answer your question,
that's profit right off their bottom line.
Exactly. Businesses prefer to hire the most productive employees at the lowest costs, and they don't want to pay higher employment costs than their competitors.
Right.
Right. So employers tend to avoid hiring individuals who will raise their costs. So at the margin, businesses will avoid hiring women or tend to pay them less. So this is one argument, and to really focus on the growth of women in the marketplace, and as you can, you've been
unintended consequences, Terry.
Unintended consequences.
Stand by, we're going to take a quick break. Terry Neese is with us, ladies and gentlemen. She's our good friend. She's with the NCPA. I'm Jim Blassingame, and I'm with you. We'll be right back. Little Robert Cray bringing us back. I did a constant 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you very much for using it to your advantage, for checking that out, and subscribe to my newsletter. We appreciate that very much. For checking out our blog, you can subscribe to that too. We'll send that to you. We'll follow you home with our blog. And all the other things we have there, you got 5 seconds or 15 minutes or anywhere in between. You want to read, you want to listen, we got something you can take advantage of there that will help you in your small business, including the body of work that Terry Neese has deposited with us over the years, with her wisdom and her hard work on behalf of you and me. And Terry is with us. She's with the NCPA, senior fellow at the National Center for Policy Analysis. Two other senior fellows are outstanding members of our Brain Trust. Bob McTeer, who used to be with the Dallas Fed, is also with her group, and also Governor Pete DuPont, who's the chair of that organization. And Terry, tell the audience a little bit about NCPA and how we can find you guys.
Well, one of the things that we have just kicked off about a week ago, we have kicked off a petition on health care. It's basically 10 steps to a patient-friendly health care system. People can go online and sign the petition at www.freeourhealthcarenow.com. You know better than anyone that the healthcare system is broken. And as a patient, you need access to services you're not now getting. And at the workplace, you need access to health insurance that costs less and gives you more. And small business owners need access to affordable health care. All of those things, and we need to change the system. At the NCPA, we really believe that you need to free the doctor, you need to free the patient, you need to free the employee, you need to free the employer.
Free the business owner from state insurance commissioners.
Well, that's very true. And as you know, the small business community
which means, folks, being able to buy policies across state lines.
That's exactly what I was going to put. You took that right out of my mouth.
Sorry. I just wanted to finish my thought.
But no, I mean, the small business community has been working on that one particular piece of legislation for over 10 years now.
Yeah.
And we could change the healthcare system by taking little bitty steps that would have great impact. For as example, allowing small businesses to band together across state lines and purchase health insurance.
Yep.
Most of the think tanks have said it would lower insurance premiums for small business owners by about 25%.
It passed the House 8 times.
Yeah.
Couldn't get through the Senate.
Can't get it through the Senate. So that's one step.
Can I stick something in there, Terry? One of the things, folks, that irritates me about the people who are trying to nationalize our healthcare system, they never gave the true private, the 21st century private options a chance. That's what bugs me about this, Terry, is they fought against and they stopped some of the best 21st century solutions, and I'm talking about primarily about Ted Kennedy. He's the father of most of the opposition to this. Ted Kennedy stopped this and wouldn't allow the private sector to have all the tools that they could have to help and to fix our healthcare system, but yet they want to take the nationalized route without giving the marketplace a chance.
Right, and I mean, can you tell me anything that the government has run that has been done well?
Well, they can't do it. They can't even run their own business.
So the last thing we need is for the government to run our healthcare system. So the Free Our Healthcare Now, www.freeourhealthcarenow.com.
To sign the petition.
Sign the petition. We have already a little over 50,000 signatures.
I'll go there today and sign up.
Good. We're planning on delivering these petitions to Congress and to the administration with signaling that we have a voice out here in America.
Yeah.
And our voice is saying we do not want the government to run our healthcare system.
Folks, there is a better answer. The main thing you need to understand from what Terry and I are saying, and as you've heard me say on this show many times before, we've reported this with our good friend Grace Marie Turner and others, is that there are other options that will work, or at least they need to be given a chance to work, and they have not been given a chance to work. Don't let people tell you that we've exhausted all the options and this is all that's left, because that's not true, Terry.
That's absolutely right. And the last thing we need is a system that's like our European folks.
We already know what that looks like. It's
well,
not
right.
pretty.
And by the way, they're trying to change their system.
They want to get rid of it.
They want to go where we are.
And I said something else recently, Terry, that I'm going to keep saying. There's a reason why healthcare is expensive in America. It's worth it.
It's exactly.
You know, I haven't heard anybody else say that. It's worth it. Terry, before we go, I got about a minute. Back to the Family Medical Leave Act, the changing of this act from 50 employees to 25 employees. What are the chances? How's that looking?
The chances are looking very good.
For the program, which we don't like.
That's correct. So, you know, the most important thing that people can do is to talk to and educate their congressmen and their senators, but to get active with an association on this.
Your Chamber of Commerce is probably weighing in on this.
They are, and you know many of the other advocacy organizations. But
your national trade group.
That's correct, and so it's really important that you get involved in this effort. We don't want to become the 24 Society, and as you pointed out, the 49 societies out there, and we're looking at the 24 Society.
Exactly. Hey Terry, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Thank you. www.freeourhealthcarenow.com.
Check it out, folks, when you get a chance to sign that petition. Quick break. Stay with me. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.